Interruptions kill productivity. There's loads of scientific studies on this stuff to show that it takes around 20 minutes for the mind to refocus after being interrupted. That means that if we are allowing people to ask questions or to send messages, etc., between themselves in our teams or directly to us, it can really affect how much work we get done because we're unable to stay focused on the task at hand because our mind is pulled out to answer the urgent or not so urgent problem that someone has presented to you. This is why phone calls and allowing people to bring their problems to you whenever they wish is not the best way to allow people to communicate in your business, and having an effective communications policy is one way to fix that. This episode, like so many of mine, came from a conversation I had during one of our mastermind sessions where I just dropped in the comment that asynchronous communications is more efficient than conversations. And it sparked an interesting conversation that resulted in some fantastic increases in productivity. I want to share what those are, the background behind this, and also the solutions that I suggested, which when implemented in my client's company, made huge changes even within 1 week of implementation. So the question is this: how do entrepreneurs like us who don't have an endless supply of cash, how do we leverage the best apps, virtual assistants, automation tools and systems to scale our businesses, increase our profits and have more time to do what we love to do each day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Dr. Steve Day and this is Systemize Your Success. So when I used to work in A&E, I was always astounded by the consultant who was working, sort of running the department, the amount of times people would be walking up to them consistently throughout the day, asking them question after question, and me included. I was a junior doctor and I felt I needed help with pretty much everything. So I was constantly bombarding this person with questions. And I often used to think, like, how on earth do they get anything done? They must be like have laser focus on what they're actually thinking about. So it allows them to be able to answer all these questions and actually keep going. But actually, it probably wasn't true. It probably was the fact that they were actually struggling themselves. These constant bombardments of questions and problems, other people's problems they're bringing to them, was actually affecting their productivity massively. The problem with A&E is you basically, that was their job and they had to support people. In business, we can sometimes feel like that we are constantly being bombarded with questions and requests from our teams. And if you're a manager, then the same thing happens. If you're a business owner, then you often are, especially in a small business, you're often where the buck stops and most things come towards you. And so we've got to be mindful of that and we've got to protect our time. And similarly, we need to actually protect our staff's time, because as a business owner or a manager, the minute we send a question or a task or a request to one of our staff members, they can sometimes feel that they need to act on it immediately because, you know, the boss has sent it, when actually that may not be the best course of action for actually getting their general work done, and it may actually reduce their productivity because we've actually interrupted their workflow, and that obviously isn't a good thing for the company as a whole. And my wife also feels this as well. For even more evidence of this, she works as a senior manager in an accountancy firm. She gets so much work, more work done when she works from home because she isn't sat there available for her team to come and ask her questions about work and stuff. They have to sort of figure stuff out on their own, and then they can ping her messages and emails if they need some support. So I've seen this, you know, the evidence from scientific studies, I've seen evidence in personal experience, and I've seen evidence from other business owners and for managers in companies. And this is a problem that if we don't address it, if we don't have a solution, that a standardized way of communicating with your company, you're leaving it to chance, and the chances are that you're going to end up with a messy communication system that basically means that everyone's getting interrupted and the productivity of that team drops massively. In a mastermind last week, I shared our policy on communications with one of my clients, and this week he came back and thanked me, and he actually said that his operations manager had turned around to him and said, "This has been the most productive week ever." And that's simply from applying a few simple policies and a few simple frameworks that allow his entire team, and he's got about 12 people in his team, some of them remote, some of them in the office, about half and half. And so he applied this to the whole team though, and has allowed his operations manager to get more done. And he just secretly said, like, this has been amazing. There's so much less chatter going on. There's so much more work being done because of having a simple and structured way that guides people on how the best way to get the questions to that answered in a efficient way, in an effective way, and in a timely way without interrupting everybody else. And it's quid pro quo, if you like. If you don't interrupt people because you have a systemized way, they're not going to interrupt you either. So it works both ways, and it means you as an employee or manager get more done, and also everyone else in the team does too. So let's have a look at a solution, the one that we use in our business. And there's actually a couple of things that my client implemented this week that we're going to adopt. And I'm going to bring those into this as a whole package, because I think they were so insightful what he'd actually done with this and improved it, that I'm going to actually incorporate that in, and we'll actually start doing it from tomorrow, in fact. So I'll just present this as the whole picture. Okay, so first of all, understanding that asynchronous communication is a massively effective way to communicate is the first thing. We don't need often to actually get on the phone to speak to someone there and then, to get instant answers to questions. It's often that we actually can present a question, get on with our work, and then we can, when that solution comes, we can use that to continue whatever that piece of work was. But communicating effectively in an asynchronous way is sometimes a challenge. People can often get bogged down with writing long-winded explanations and typing out questions and maybe even taking screenshots and stuff. And all that takes a lot of time. So that's why people often refer to just walking across the office and having a chat or picking up the phone, because people feel that it's so much easier and quicker to do it that way. However, video communication, what something called the video comms revolution in our courses, is all about using video, whether it's just literally recording yourself talking, and that can also be audio as well, or actually recording your screen, explaining and showing the problem firsthand, and then sending that video for someone to actually be able to review. That is a far, far more efficient way of getting huge amounts of information across, and also allows you to, if you use a video, it allows you to show your body language, people can actually see what you're talking about. You can actually build rapport by actually, even if you're not doing it synchronously, you can actually build rapport because people are seeing your face and how you're actually asking the question rather than writing an email. It can be misinterpreted. I've covered this in other episodes as well, because it's such an important thing. So understanding how to efficiently communicate complex or simple problems is important, and video or audio is a great way to do that, unless it's super simple, like one little line of question that can not possibly be misinterpreted, then okay, fair enough. There are times when text is more efficient, but they are few and far between from my experience. So that's the first thing. So we need a way to actually effectively communicate asynchronously. The second thing is understanding that we need to keep communication in the right place. If we allow people to send emails and send WhatsApp messages or Slack messages, like they basically choose the method or the medium in which they're going to communicate at will, then we end up with lots of disjointed conversations. It's very hard to keep track of everything that's been talked about, a specific task or a project, if we allow people to communicate in any way. So one of the first policies that we introduced in our company, which made it the biggest difference probably to anything except for using video, was about having task-based comms. That means that if a question or a communication in any, for whatever means, is about an existing task, so whether that's a recurring task or an ad hoc task that's been delegated to someone's board, then that communication happens on that task. So in Asana, it's what we use, our project management software, and you may use something different, it's fine, but on that, there's a comment section, and we put the questions or the video, and we put it on and say, hey, Bob, can you just check this out? I've got these questions. So that means that there's an audit trail of all the communication that happened. We can bring other people in, so it's not like on a WhatsApp thread or whatever, then you know, bring someone else in, you can't see the messages before, or an email thread, you bring someone in, you've got to look back through all these disjointed emails with all the email headings in between, and it sort of repeats itself, and it's like really, really inefficient. When we do it in a task management app like Asana, it's just a nice audit or trail of communication all about the single task. It's very confined to that particular problem or that particular task, and therefore it's really efficient. So One of the challenges, though, is that sometimes, you know, best will in the world, people don't see the messages that are on tasks. So we need a policy, which is our escalation policy, to bring people's attention to stuff that needs to actually be looked at within your task management app. And there's a key method to do this, which really brings or makes this work. And if you don't do this part, then the whole task-based communications, the power of that, and the bonus or the benefit of doing that is lost. And that is when we are communicating via our chosen instant messaging channel between our team. And for us, we use Slack because it's super cool and great for organization and just, I think, it's an awesome app. So check it out if you don't use it. So we used to use WhatsApp. I think WhatsApp is not a great internal communication tool at all for the reasons I've stated just now about history of comms, etc., when you bring people into threads, and there's loads of other reasons why it's not great. Slack is great for internal comms, so check it out, and I'll do an episode on that at some point if I haven't already. The key thing here is when you are sending a message about a task through your chosen instant messaging channel, whatever that is, if it's WhatsApp or whatever, but we use Slack. When you are sending it, you don't ask the question on the instant messenger channel. So our escalation policy is quite simple, that we have what is the title of the task and where is the link to the task. So it goes something like this: hey, Steve, there's an important or urgent message for you on this task which requires your attention. The title of the task is this, or the title of the question or the problem is this, and here is a link to the task. I will then click on that task. It forces me to go into the task management app, answer on the task, and then just hit reply on my instant messenger channel, on my Slack channel, and say, I've replied on the task. That means it's forcing me, or whoever, obviously the communication is between, to go back into the task management app, put the communication on the task, which keeps it all in one place. So that's a really important step to making this work. It's forcing people, by the policy of not putting questions in the instant messenger channel, to go back to where it should be answered and answering it there so everybody can see it. And so therefore, there's also the audit trail and everything that I discussed before. Another great suggestion, or suggestion for questions, is the title of the suggestion. Another great policy that I actually learned from a previous mentor, Rob Moore, was the policy of suggestions before questions. So when somebody asks a question, it doesn't really matter really who it's to, we want them to actually start thinking about possible solutions. So whenever possible, we need to get the person to actually say, look, here's the question I've got, and here's what I think the answer is. Here's what I think the next steps are. And that way, we're actually getting people to start becoming problem solvers and not problem creators. And what the great thing about this is, you may actually, it may give you suggestions to the solution for this problem that you've never even thought of. Some brilliant things have come from this. And also, if there is a suggestion which you think, yep, that's what I'll do, you don't have to think, it's there in front of you. And you can hit reply and say, just go with number two, or number two is great. You know, or just go with what you think. If you think all three are great and you haven't really got an opinion on it, go with the one you think's best. And that's the ultimate goal, because then the person has to take total ownership of whatever the decision is they make, and therefore they're responsible for the outcome as well. And that's getting into sort of the coaching aspects of this, but that's a brilliant way to actually empower people to be better decision makers and better action takers, to actually force them to make a decision about the solution. As long as you can see that all three are pretty much all right, then run with it. See which one they think is best and let them go. So the addition that my client made this week, which I think is an absolutely brilliant one, is they have a dedicated Slack channel set up purely for all the questions happening between the team. And the reason this works incredibly, or this is really important, is because if we're sending things via private Slack channels, then people are sort of forced to answer them there and then. But what makes this dedicated Slack channel for questions really powerful is when we also schedule into people's diaries at times at which they answer questions in the channel. And this separates the really urgent stuff from the urgent stuff, but it can be answered sometime today. By having a dedicated channel and actually scheduling, say, 15 minutes at 10 o'clock and 15 minutes at 2 o'clock for people to actually go into that channel and reply to any questions using the task-based communications policy, going back to the task and putting on there. It means that it's not interrupting their day. They're not looking at it because it's not in their personal feed, in their personal direct message channel. So it's not interrupting them thinking, I've got to action that now. It's a dedicated space for them to go to and answer those questions as and when. Now, all of this is great, but it still can end up with lots of to-ing and fro-ing of questions throughout the day and people getting bogged down with lots of messages and questions that need to answer. So we have another policy, which is around where messages should be sent. And this all depends on the urgency of the message. If somebody definitely needs an answer to that message on that day, they've got two options. We have a daily stand-up each day, and I've talked about that in the Holy Trinity of Meetings, a podcast about that. And the daily stand-up is a meeting every day. We get together as a team, and we basically just present our ideas and, present what we're going to be doing that day and any challenges we've got. But on our meeting board for that, so we have a board set up in our project management tool for that meeting. And on that meeting board, like on all our meeting boards, there's an issues list. And if somebody's got a question, whether it be about a task or something else, and they want to bring it to that meeting to add it to the agenda, all they've got to do is pop it into the issues list. And then when we get to that meeting and we go through, we basically hammer through the issues list and then get those questions answered. And everybody who needs to be in that meeting is in that meeting, and therefore we can get things, everybody has opportunity to answer the questions or say, oh yeah, I'll answer that after, no problem. And basically brings awareness to them. So that's the first place. If the question comes up after the daily stand-up, then, and it's super urgent and needs to be answered that day, but it doesn't need to be answered now, it would go into the dedicated Slack channel for the questions, the daily questions. And that would then be processed, as I said, a couple times a day or whatever you decide. So it's not interrupting people's flow. They go to it at a dedicated time, answer the questions, and then get on with their work. Then you've got the direct message channel within your Slack channel or your Insta message channel, which can be then reserved purely for the super urgent stuff that I really need your help with right now. That could be something for things like you're running late for a meeting, so you're letting people know, or I really need the code to be able to log into your Facebook or whatever, and it's on a timer, so you've got to do it at the same time. You can't do it asynchronously. So things where it actually has to be done right now, or it could be something like super urgent. I've got to bring this to this person's attention. So that keeps the direct messaging in Slack really clean. And it means that is used far less because you've got this place to put other messages. Now, I mentioned the daily stand-up and the issues list on there. But we also have issues lists on our project meetings, on our departmental meetings, and on our company meetings. So each week, we typically have these meetings running each week. Each week we have a get together where the team, whoever's involved, say with marketing or with the sales side of things or with our operations or our company meeting where everyone gets together. And on each of those meetings board, just like the daily stand-up, we also have an issues list. And so if a question about a task or anything else comes up, and it doesn't need to be answered immediately, so it's not appropriate for the direct message. It doesn't really even need to be answered that day, so it's not appropriate for the daily stand-up or the questions channel. But it needs to be answered sometime this week, and actually I can probably wait until the meeting on Thursday or whenever that meeting is scheduled. Then it goes on to the meeting board. This means that issue, that question, can come up and be discussed at an appropriate scheduled time as part of that meeting for the department or the project or the company, meaning even less comms, that less communication is being fired back and forth through your instant messaging channel, meaning there's less interruptions within the day. So if we look at that in reverse order, the primary or the first place we would like messages or escalations to be done is into company meeting projects, which happen typically on a weekly basis. And that goes on the issues list. The second best place on the daily stand-up issues list. The third best place is into our Slack channel, which is then processed on a couple of times each day. And then for the urgent stuff, it can go as a direct message. By doing that and combining it with the task-based communications policy about not allowing questions specifically to be answered in Slack, but actually to be answered on the task itself, and also about using video comms to speed up the capture of tasks to avoid the need to actually pick up the phone or go and walk over the office to speak to somebody. When you combine all of these things together, it allows us to hugely reduce the number of interruptions, not just for you, but also for your team and in between team members as well. And it gives you the opportunity, or the whole team the opportunity, to focus on their most important work, the work they're working on right now, and know that their questions and also their ability to give the answers to the questions will happen at a scheduled time each day, which may be one or two times a day, or at the scheduled meeting as appropriate. So that's it. That's basically our communications policy, which we've been using now for quite a few years, and about five or six years now. And it's been improved over the time to come up with this quite robust set of frameworks and policies. And as I said before, this addition of this dedicated Slack channel, I think, is an absolutely brilliant one. So we're going to actually start using that tomorrow to actually bring that next layer of removing or overwhelming the direct messaging channel within Slack with all those messages which aren't actually as urgent as sometimes people make out. So that's it. Hope that's been helpful. If you have found this helpful, then please do remember to leave a review, give us a rating, and especially share this with your friends and colleagues who may also find this helpful if needed. Take care. I'll see you next time. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for joining me and listening to this episode. I'm well aware there are hundreds of great business podcasts out there, and you chose to listen to this one, and for that, I am truly grateful. Hopefully, what you heard today took you one step closer to building a successful business so you can share your passion with the world and serve an ever-growing number of people. If you got value out of today's episode, then so will someone else you know. By sharing with others what has helped you along your way, you will grow your influence and be the guy or girl that everybody wants to know. So please hit the share button right now, and also remember to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss future episodes. It's impossible for me to cover absolutely everything in these podcasts, so please do head over to systemizeyoursuccess.com right now and download the show notes, transcriptions, and some of my best frameworks and systems for free. Thanks again for tuning in and being a part of this amazing community. Until next time, this is Dr. Steve Day, and you've been listening to Systemize Your Success.